Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newbie. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
Well, I'd just like to begin by saying thank you very much, Harriet. Thanks to your continually harping on about the laughable idea that a child needs a mother and a father, we are now plunged into an Aldridge Carter bitchy custody battle that's going to go on for decades. So thank you.
I told you.
Anyway, we began this week with Brian getting shirty at Barrow. I've actually lost track of about who is the leak at Barrow, but Michaela and Jodie are in shock, according to Hannah. Poor Michaela and Jodie. Who the hell are Michaela and Jodie? I think they're probably the pigs. They have heard that Justin is going to turn it into a craft centre or a lap dancing club called Grunters or something, and they are concerned as they want to know who is going to read Grazia to them at lunchtime or give them slurps on his iron brew if Hannah and Jazza go. Over at the Bull, Tracy had got together her collection of geriatrics who were... Actually, it wasn't the Bull, was it? It was the Green. Anyway, Tracy had got together her collection of geriatrics who were understandably quite annoyed at her continually referring to them as the elderly when one of them is a full-time farmer and two more are marathon runners. Justin turned up immaculate in whites and tonked the ball all over the place, and Tony did hurt his finger. Obviously, once Justin had proved himself as the new Dan Lawrence, Tracy immediately fired him straight off the team, as God forbid they should have someone on an Ambridge team who's actually good at the thing. Jim has told Alice to stop apologising to everyone, so she instantly became coolly and terrifyingly assertive with absolutely everybody, which was quite exciting. Far too exciting for Amy, who followed her stepmother's example and hid in the vicarage. Is the vicarage like the set of Noises Off with people hiding in wardrobes and behind sofas? Are there trapdoors and sliding bookshelves everywhere? Alice was in the unusual position of someone apologising to her for their bad behaviour. In fact, two people. So she took advantage, saddled up her high horse and paraded round on the moral high ground. Chris had not behaved very well in the mediation session, which was run by Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted, and had given Mrs. Doyle the distinct impression that Alice was a lush and leapt to his feet every time she allowed Alice to speak. Once Amy, who had crossed the village green at 6 a.m. wearing a false beard and glasses after emerging from the vicarage airing cupboard, had told him she had told Alice all, he trotted round there to make his cringing apology. He began it with the words, "Technically, I haven't done anything wrong," which is always a good look. Amy, from her position behind the recipe books on the kitchen bookshelf, confessed to Usha and Alan that she'd been testing the forger's metal, and Alan started waffling on about forgiveness in his god voice, and Usha cut across him briskly and said, "Oh, we've all shanked a blacksmith in error, love." Incidentally, why did Brian and Neil talk about Chris and Alice as if they're in the lowest thicks and Chris accidentally got Alice up the clanger after a lunchtime fumble behind the changing rooms? They're a married couple in their 30s. Tracy went absolutely batshit about Susan and behaved as if Susan and Neil were the evil overlords of Barrow, necking champagne, laughing cruelly and throwing Tracy and Jazza the odd pork scratching to keep them going, rather than two very tired people in a bungalow propping up their flagging relationship with highly spiced meat. Freddie and Russ are back, my favourite comedy duo. Are you meditating? No, I've already done that. Freddie was reviewing sound kit, which was quite boring, and said that he'd discovered one that did smoke and mirrors or something, which would certainly fit in well at Lower Loxley. Tony is fitting in well in his new role at Rewilding Ambridge. He is thinking about rewilding. Not doing anything about it, just thinking about it. The Winnie the Pooh of Ambridge sparked an enormous and very boring discussion between Brian and Adam, and they all happily droned on for hours while spitting bits of cheese and pickle sandwich at each other. The conclusion? None. But three world-weary silverbacks felt important for 5 minutes. In a trend which seems to be every week at the moment, we left Susan makeup-less, crying and sad, and 2 minutes later she's knocking up a butterscotch angel delight for Ian and glorying in the clearly Appalachian Gleason twins. In other news, I don't care who the Easter Bunny is, I just want to know why it's got a hooter. The end.
Why has it got
I don't know! What is hooting?
I wondered that. What is hooting? Is it like a... Is it something... Is it a handheld hooter?
Well, a handheld hooter? Well, it seems to be, as it's sort of plodding along, it seems to be going...
Maybe it's a foot-held hooter.
That's what I was thinking. Is it like a one-man band, you know, and you have all those bits strapped on you? It's got symbols
or a nose-pressing hooter. I thought the same. First of all, I thought my ears were deceiving me. And
well, I thought they'd played the wrong sound effect in. When she goes, what's that? And there's this thing, burp, 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 walking along.
No, the thing is, it's only because neither of them mentioned the hooting.
No,
You thought they'd go, oh, that's a great new costume, Russ, and where'd you get the hooter from?
Yeah.
What does the hooting mean?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just take the hat off?
Yeah.
Oh, I suppose at that point they thought it was Russ.
But it was so contrived.
Probably will end up being Russ or Vince. Or
no, it will be that idiot, the Rex.
Who? Rex? Why would it be Rex?
I don't know. Because she groped his bum and she quite liked it, I think. Maybe he quite liked it.
Maybe it's Sol.
Yes.
Maybe.
Her soulmate.
Her soulmate, exactly. Who I thought that Beth was a bit... When Beth was like... I don't want to know. Oh, my God, you actually slept with someone. It's like, oh, my God, these Ambridge. I don't know what they grow up learning, but they just, they can't ever go, oh, my God, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, why did that happen? Maybe. It's like they are judge.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
Puritanism.
So puritanical.
Yeah.
The only person who isn't is Usha.
Yeah.
Who really came into her... Usha and Alan were the only people this week that I was like, oh my God, thank God.
Yeah.
People who are normal
yeah.
and love their children.
Yeah.
And, you know...
And also accept that people are going to make mistakes. Like she said, you know, life is messy. And I thought, blimey, I've never heard anyone say that on Ambridge. In Ambridge, ever.
And in Ambridge, it's very messy. But no, exactly. There were. It's like you're just not allowed. You're not allowed to have a one night stand in Ambridge without it being a massive deal.
Yeah.
And I mean, Lily's.
Well,
not
even
married.
Hannah. Excuse me. Even Hannah tried that, didn't she? She tried to have friends with benefits and all that.
Oh,
and then everyone was and creeping around. And
apart from Alan and Usha, everyone just blew up about everything this week, including Tracy and Barrow.
Yeah.
Which was way over the top. Because it's like, well, of course Neil would have known for a bit longer than you guys because he's more invested in
and
the
also,
company
it
than
didn't,
Jazza.
It didn't seem to make sense because she said, you could have told me. And I wouldn't have told anyone. And then Jazza could have started to look for other jobs. And so I was thinking, so you would have told Jazza then?
But also just go, oh, okay, you've known a couple, you know, you've known two. But it's still annoying. It's terrible for all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, anyway, that was just, there were just certain things this week that I was just like, oh, God, I just don't know if I can listen to everybody going off on one.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like in these dramatic times?
Yeah.
You do need that. Even though the Easter Bunny is groansome, you do need a bit of that. The fish. Good fish.
We liked the fish.
We love fish.
I messaged Harriet and said, I really like the fish.
I was like, what are you talking about? Because you only messaged me this week.
Yes.
I was 8 days after the fish.
The fish.
I'd forgotten about my favourite episode of the fortnight, which was...
I think that's my favourite episode of the year. It was just Jakob. I just love Jakob. He's brilliant.
He just went, sucker. I was like, yeah. It was so funny. I loved that. It was just Roy getting a massive tank.
And he said, oh, I never thought of that. And he went, that doesn't surprise me. He's such a bitch, Jacob. He really
lots
is.
Lots of people on Twitter don't like the fish, but I love the fish. I think it's funny to have competitive fish.
I think it's... Well, I also found it amusing that Kirsty, who was in charge of shorthorn cattle, didn't know what to do about a goldfish that had fallen on the ground.
But
there was one thing you had to do. Pick it up, put it in the water. That's it.
But
you don't need to be James Herriot. It's quite
it
easy.
It made me laugh when they were both like, because I'd have been exactly the same if there was a flappy fish on the carpet.
I can't touch it. It's too fishy.
I'd have been the same. I would have had to run and got a neighbour.
Really?
It makes me feel a bit sick.
Oh, okay.
Because I think I'm traumatised because we used to have a pond. And once when I was really little, I came... it might even have been a nightmare or something, but I remember looking at the pond and seeing like this bloated fish floating at the top.
Right.
And it was sort of, you know, that gold or orange,
yeah.
It had gone white and it was just all bloated and yucky. I don't know what happened to it. And it has sort of stayed in my...
Oh, okay.
Forever.
Right. Stayed in your forever.
It's also funny that Roy... it was even funny when Jacob was like, well, I don't know, did you change the water? You have changed the water, haven't you? And he was like... A bit. Yeah, a bit. No, it's still in this plastic bag.
And when he just kept specifying... No, Kate. I do love Kate.
Yeah.
The fish. Not your Kate.
I think it's a genius storyline. Whoever came up with it. It's just
yes,
funny,
it's probably got
it?
Quite a short shelf life before we start thinking, oh, that bloody fish again.
I don't care. I'd listen to the Battle of the Fish. I will happily listen to. The battle over Martha is already grating me.
Is it? So
I
what is your
like
take
it,
on the
Lucy.
Battle?
Well, it's
but you didn't like it when she didn't want Martha, and now she does. You still don't like it. What do you want? Women. Bloody hell.
Well, no, it's come... It's come quickly, hasn't it? I think it's come quicker than we thought. Because we could
well,
see
as
it coming,
always.
As always. It didn't take long.
We've gone from, no, it's fine, Chris, whatever you want. I want Martha, and there's a massive custody battle in the space of 14 minutes.
I'm just going to backtrack a little here, Lucy, because this is where it is good, is that you feel conflicted, because one minute you're like, Alice is so annoying, and why would she then go all out for Martha and ruin the mediation? But then you're like, oh, hang on a minute. I suppose Chris has been really controlling, and she's scared that he's going to... You can see how you go from one mediation session to like, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I want this kid, and
yeah.
I am not going to risk anything.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is going to stop me from... Because I suppose it's really difficult to imagine a sort of 50-50 perfect harmonious scenario when you're in that situation. You want, you know, that's the thing, is it's life and death stakes. So you're going to do anything to get your full share of the kid. And
I thought it was interesting that it was Jimus that was the catalyst, or we were supposed to think that Jimus was the catalyst.
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that. I don't remember.
Because
that.
He said he was talking to Alice, and he said, "I think you are a good mother. I've sat here and it's when she brought over some cake and stuff. I think it was last week.
Yeah,
she brought over cake from the birthday and everything, and she said, "Oh, I'm just going around the village saying sorry to everybody."
Yeah,
and he sort of said, "It's difficult when you don't like yourself, and you just end up apologising for your whole life." And he said, "I think you're doing a really good job, and I think you don't need to keep apologising anymore." And that seems that then the next scene was her in mediation being slightly more feisty. But Chris was outrageous in that mediation.
But okay, so then I get cross with Chris, and like, of course he's outrageous. But then you have to remember that for 6 months he was the sole carer of Martha, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so of course he's going to think.
And
this
also, he's seen
baby.
Her. He's seen her wreck a job. He's seen her, you know, be unstable. He's seen her try and get off with his friend.
He's put in 50% more work than she has into bringing up the baby. And he was there at the very beginning. So I do totally believe where he's coming from, and that he's coming from a only I can protect this baby, and it's outrageous, Alice, that you want to have full custody. But then I look at Alice and I'm like, well, you know, that's the thing. Otherwise she's gonna, you know, she's finally bonded. She's and maybe that's the thing. And maybe at the very beginning she was just too you know, the guilt was too much. That's why she couldn't. That's why she didn't dare bond with Martha.
Yeah, she was holding herself back the whole time, wasn't she?
Yeah. So it's actually, although it's difficult to listen to, it is very interesting, isn't it?
And I think everybody's been conflicted because everyone's just going, God, I hate both of them.
Yeah.
They're both driving me absolutely nuts.
What they need, Lucy, is a little bit more of that lovely lady. Again, they decided to get another sort of, like, you know, like, why the was it the mediation lady that was Mrs. Doyle?
Yes.
Again, they went for a sort of calming sort of, you know.
Uber professional. Oh, yes. Yeah. Chris, let's hear from Alice, shall we, Chris?
Yeah.
And she said she's now got Roisin is her solicitor. Isn't she? Yeah. So she's just gone full Irish. She's just, yeah.
Oh, hang on. Oh, so she didn't mean, are you sure she didn't mean, who was that other woman that none of us particularly liked that she went to before? Was that her, before the Irish woman? Is that Alice's solicitor, Roisin?
No, we haven't heard Roisin yet.
Well, who was the other woman that we heard about? You know, the one where she brought Alice to
That was her, wasn't it? That was Roisin, yes.
Oh, Roisin, who was also a bit annoying.
Yeah.
And then you've got Mrs. So-and-so, who's... Cake, Chris! What's she been cake? She's eating too much cake!
There was this funny, weird bit, wasn't there, where... I was like, well, she said she's eating a cake. Anyway, but...
Chris was being such a dick, though. He really was.
He was, but again, you know, he is fighting, isn't he? He's now absolutely petrified and has been ever since he got ill.
Yeah.
Because everything he's put, and I do totally see where he's coming from. Martha is his child. Mm. And now Alice seems to want to take her away from him and he's petrified, isn't he? I do totally see where he's coming from, even though he's a dick.
And also, he's looking at the might of the Aldridges, you know, because they've got the money for the best solicitors. They've
like
got
Susan panicking.
Yeah, they've got kind of, you know, they'll have contacts, they'll have, you know, all that stuff.
And also, Alice is the mother, and quite often the mother.
Yeah, the courts would rather leave the child with the mother where possible.
And the thing is, you know, like, Chris has been an arsehole to Amy, I think. But he isn't thinking about anyone but himself and Martha, is it? So I do totally get it. But I also think, like, poor Amy is the victim, actually, in all this. Because
he never once said to her, are you okay?
He said, Amy,
you know, Alice chucked her out and everything.
No, exactly. When she came round at weird at 5 a.m, basically, can I get in your bed? I put my special tights on.
And in her Groucho Marx moustache.
He literally, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
And I felt so sorry for her.
I've walked all the way from...
We've got a cup of cocoa and a bottle of flash. If you want me to wipe around the toilet seat. I felt sorry for Amy, and then for Alice to have a massive go. I mean, it's a bit like, I can see why Alice was having a massive go, but it's just, for God's sake, children. It's like,
yes,
they haven't had, no one's had sex for ages, including myself in this. Just let them have a little bit of sex. It's it's a mistake, but these things happen. And of course, get a
I
bit
think,
angry
though. It's the humiliation that she felt like. Because Alice has been in the most undignified situation.
Alice bought Amy
ever.
A gift card.
Yes, she bought her a gift card. But people have seen Alice roaring drunk. They've seen her vomiting. They've seen her passed out. They've seen her chucking bricks through the shop window. And then she's trying to get back on her feet again. And then all of a sudden she gets this. She's confronted with this possibility that actually people have been laughing at her.
And also, Chris can always throw in her face, well, you left me.
Yes.
You know, which...
You wanted the divorce, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is where that, technically, I didn't do anything wrong. But I just loved it when she's just going, just own it, Chris, just own it. And I am owning it!
But I do agree that technically he didn't... I mean, obviously it was going to cause...
Yeah.
I mean, Amy shouldn't just... But that's the thing. It's Chris's fault because he could have handled it better. Mm-hmm. He could have gone to check Amy was okay and gone, do you know what? This was... It was a really stupid mistake and I want to take the blame for this. It's awful.
Yeah.
But let's
let's forget about it. I really like you as a friend. Can we go back to being friends? And let's just not mention it to Alice.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to tip her over the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, for, you know, we've all kept secrets. You can hold on to that secret and still be someone's friend, I think.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway. What do we think about Barrow and do we care? Answer right on one side of the paper only. Your time starts now.
One word beginning with N, ending in O. Boring. I just switch off like you when there was that Brian Adam Tony
Beasley.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my, please bring
back
Easter
Bunny. Are you still talking?
Oh, so boring. It was literally, as you said, it was literally like they were just sort of like drooling. Adam had his head on his hands, didn't he? And just sort of having a quick nap. Tony's gone having like a... that's the thing. It's like when Pat sort of sends him out on these little... He just gets a little hobby, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He gets overexcited.
Well, obviously, but for Tony, Mummy actually said, you were a good boy and I like what you did. Yeah. That picture you drew, I really like it and I've put it on the fridge. So now he's going around telling everyone he's Picasso. So he's, you know, he's pretending he's Chris bloody Packham now. I am the, you know, the hero of rewilding and without me, no one ever would have become organic. And even Brian said... Well, you know, I didn't believe in that, but you know, but here you are and everything. So he's getting all puffed up like a little bullfinch.
That's
going to
be so annoying for Kirsty and Rex. Yeah. They must have to keep giving him little jobs that he can do just to take him away. Like what you do with the toddler, you give him a watering can.
Go and count the stones. Oh, and then...
So annoying. Every day, I've had turns of hello. And they're like, oh, God.
I've had an idea. Have you?
There's an office at the back, Tony. Go and make us a brew, would you?
Yeah, can I? Did anyone know about the office?
Why? Is there an office?
Well, yeah, she said. Kirsty said, if you want me, she said, I'll leave you to have a look around. I keep trying to do your work. I got it. She said, I'll leave you to go and have a look around, Tony. I'll be in the office. And
okay,
I was like, in the what now? Where's that? What's it made of? Compost?
No, it is. It's part of the toilet block.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's compost office.
It's just basically a laptop in the compost.
Oh, it's like yours. It's a laptop on top of the loo.
It is. Have we done our studio tours, by the way?
Have you done yours?
No, did you do one?
No, I didn't do one either. I was waiting for you.
I wasn't going to do one on my toilet. No one wants to see in
my
here.
My toilet?
I'm just going to, next time I'm in a flashy studio, I'm just going to put write Ambridge on the couch on a sort of folder and then just pretend that's my studio. Hi, and that's my producer, Ben. Everyone say hi to Ben. Hi, Ben.
Ben often works without his shirt on. Yes.
So Tony.
Do you want to know? I'm segueing onto emails because I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah.
To know the most exciting assignment we've ever been given by a listener?
Does it include dressing up as an Easter bunny?
No.
Go on.
It is to do with puppies. We have to name some puppies.
Oh, that's so cute. Real puppies?
Real puppies.
Like
I've got
doggy
a picture
puppies.
Of... No, budgie puppies. This is from Gemma Campbell. She says... Hi, Lucy, Harry, Mr. Newby, and all the lovely listeners. I had the lovely experience of helping my beautiful Caucasian shepherd dog deliver 11 healthy puppies on the 10th.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, these new babies need names.
Wow, 11.
I asked on Facebook. I know that's going to give you some cystitis, isn't it? I asked on Facebook for help with Archers-related names and thought that you would enjoy to hear some of their answers I got after I described puppy behaviours. And then there are some that are as yet nameless, and we need to name them.
Do they have to be Archers related?
Yes. So, she said puppies are called colours after their collars until we decide on actual names.
Oh, right. Like blue.
Yes.
Red,
so red
yellow,
is big, pushy and greedy
orange,
for attention.
Green.
Are you
Sorry.
Just going to name colours now?
Yes. Sorry, go on.
So the red one, red collar, big, pushy, greedy for attention. That's Toby or Justin Elliott.
Yeah. Green, Toby would be cute.
Green and blue, who are always spooning. So that's either Neil and Susan or Robert and Linda. Brown is always drinking, so that's Alice. Pink is very vocal and a bit of a princess, so that's Kate. Purple,
Lily.
Purple whinges and doesn't stray far from mum, so that's David. White is silent, so that's Kathy. Orange is yappy and entitled, and that's Pip. So the ones she needs names for are Yellow, who apparently cannot tell a teat and a bum apart and needs constant direction. Rex.
Well, or, yeah, Rex. Teat and a bum apart.
Don't go there. I know.
Yeah, babe. Probably,
wherever it is you're heading, reverse.
Okay, I'm trying to.
Okay. The black one, black collar, is small but scrappy. I think Tracy.
Yeah, or Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grey, mummy interferes because Grey isn't as quick to get there as the rest.
Oh, that'll be...
Tony.
Or the one of those Grundy grandsons.
Yeah. So, yes, she says, love the world's best podcast. Don't know what that is, but she's letting us know anyway. Gemma and the puppies from Northern Ireland. So we think that Yellow should be... What did we decide on Yellow? The one that can't tell his arse from his elbow.
And then we didn't come up with a name for that. Throw it over to the listeners, Lucy.
Okay. So we
throw
we need
it over to the listeners.
It's clearly not
doesn't know
the
its
brightest
from its
bottom.
Bollock.
Yes. So basically... Okay. It's going for the wrong... It's trying to get milk and it's going to the wrong end. Because it's not very bright. So, not the brightest light in the harbour. That's what we need. We need a name for the yellow one.
Well, could be anyone in Ambridge.
So the black collar one is going to be Chelsea.
Yeah.
And grey is Tony, because mummy interferes because he isn't as quick to get there as everyone else.
And he's grey.
Yep. So we need... Yeah. Oh, only his collar's grey.
Imagine having your puppy called Tony. Then. Come on, Tony. I think whoever gets that puppy might change the name. Tony, really? Tony. Okay. Yeah,
I like the
Tony,
idea of one of them being called Justin Elliot. I like it having a surname.
Justin Elliot.
Come on, we're going for a walk. Justin Elliot. Justin Elliot, have you crapped? Did you go out there? You did, didn't you? Justin Elliot's chewed up my trainer. Great. And she sent me a picture, which I'm going to post on the Twitters, because it is so beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. 11 puppies. That's a lot, isn't it? I don't know much about doggies, but I assume 11 is a big litter.
Yes.
What breed is it again? I'm going to look it up quickly.
Caucasian Shepherd dog. I'm going to forward. Have you got your email on?
Yeah.
I'm going to forward
you. Oh, you're
going to
send me the...
A picture of it. And then listeners.
Oh, my God. They're absolutely enormous.
Yes.
Whoa, so it's like a bear dog.
A bear dog.
Oh, my God.
It's a bear dog, innit?
They look like lions. No wonder we had 11 puppies.
Yeah.
Whoa. Well,
just check your email and look at the picture.
Okay.
That's Kate you're looking at.
I bet they're going to be really cute puppies. Sorry, talk amongst yourselves, guys. I think my Wi-Fi is a bit slow here. Bibbidi-boo, keep saying it's updated. Well, this is a groovy bit. I could do the song while I'm waiting for... it keeps saying updated.
Oh.
Oh, no, hang on. Here we go. Come on. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I've got it. Oh, they're so cute. Oh, my God. Oh, that is so cute.
I know. But look at its little feet.
Oh, my God.
It has little pink toes.
I mean, it doesn't look like a puppy. It looks like a baby
cub. Looks
like
a little bear. Yes.
Yeah. It's pink toes. Oh, I want one.
No. Oh, my God. The last thing you need is an enormous dog.
I know. Imagine. And that size as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Rex could ride it.
He could.
Instead of, like, going on a scooter, he could just ride the doggy because they grow up really tall. Oh, that is super cute.
Isn't
it? Yeah. Okay. Well, we need a picture of all of them together.
Yes. Oh, my God. Gemma, that's a task for you. Try to get 11 of them all looking at the camera at the right time. Yes.
Oh,
the one, the thick
gorgeous one,
the as yet unnamed dense one, will be staring in the wrong direction, no doubt. But anyway.
I mean, it'd be good if one of them was Lillian, wouldn't it, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it, darling? but actually, she's too savvy to be the yellow one.
Yes. No, she is. Yes. If there was one that pushed everyone else out the way and got there first, that would be Lillian. Just knocked them over. I will post a picture so you can listen to what we're cooing over.
Yeah, I know. We might have. No, I mean, you couldn't not coo over that.
No,
could you?
You couldn't.
You'd
no.
have to have the
a
steeliest
heart
of hearts.
Yes.
Steeliest.
Right. Steve Parrott is updating us.
Oh, yeah.
On legal situation.
Oh, thank God.
The divorce.
Barrow?
The divorce and the custody of Martha.
Oh yeah.
He said, "I've just been listening to Law in Action with Joshua Rosenberg." New divorce.
Is that still on?
Yes, it's still in action. New divorce law coming into play 6th of April. I wonder if the scriptwriters have got a handle on the changes, in particular, removing the ability to make allegations about the conduct of a spouse.
Oh. Mm. So Alice couldn't use as evidence the one night stand?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Does it apply retrospectively? Is that after? Can you not? Because that's not the divorce, is it? Because she's going to cite the shagging Amy in relation to custody of Martha.
Yeah, but it shouldn't make any difference to a custody trial.
No,
that's like Victorian, isn't it?
Yes, she enjoys sex and is therefore an unfit mother, or he does. Yes.
He is an unfit mother.
Yes. But that's very good, Steve. Thank you. Because obviously the Robin Helen storyline coincided with the coercive control law going through British justice system. So, yes, could be that. That's very exciting.
Oh, maybe they have sort of... Well, it'd be interesting, won't it?
Yes. Amelia Jane... I used to know a rhyme about Amelia.
No, Amelia Jane isn't that the she's an Enid Blyton character.
Yes,
she's like a dolly, a naughty dolly.
Ah,
yeah.
Naughty dolly Amelia Jane says,
"What a naughty dolly!"
I am emailing from Lincolnshire. I only moved here this month to let you know that not all your listeners are from the States. We have inherited two chickens with our new house. And I really wanted to rename them Lucy and Harriet. But our friend who lives with us resisted this move and started calling them Flaps and Nandos, which are horrible names for chickens. So for now, they're sticking with their original names, but I haven't given up the fight. My husband says it is cruel to rename chickens. It's not cruel to rename chickens. Chickens are idiots. They don't care. Do you remember the vegan foam shrimps and bananas? When those episodes were playing, I got very excited because I had been a vegan for several years and had not heard of these. This is why she doesn't want to call her chicken Nando's. I thought there must be real vegan versions if they were on the Archers. I spent ages looking at all the vegan sweet sites, but they really don't exist.
No.
And as a result, I ended up buying loads of other sweets because they all looked so nice, which has become a kind of addiction and contributed to a general decline in the health of my diet. Thank you, Maya.
So she can... She not really... Oh, thank you too, Maya.
Yes.
She can blame her diabetes on the Archers then.
Yep. To sue. Regarding current Archer storylines, there's a bit too much of people acting contrite and letting others be horrible to them.
Yep.
There were times this week when I sincerely wanted Alice and Amy to tell Chris and Fallon to fuck off. Just because they've done bad things doesn't give anyone a right to be vile and abusive to them.
Totally.
I absolutely love your podcast. I look forward to it all week. You make me genuinely laugh out loud quite a lot. And Harriet, I loved your Christmas crackers.
Thank you.
Oh, Amelia, you've now given her permission to do it again next year.
I think you have some Easter ones. Might get some Easter, Easter little...
Not about
little,
yolks.
Some
excellent... A series of yolks. Oh, God,
yolks for next week. Yep, there will be some Easter-themed hilarious cracking jokes.
Oh, my Lord. Wouldn't that be nice if the chickens were called Lucy and Harriet?
I think it would be more fun if they were called Flaps and Nando. I do think that Lucy and Harriet...
seem like nice little Beatrix Potter type chickens, don't they?
Or at least Hinge and Bracket, which is probably more us, but anyway. Right. This is Penny. I don't know if you remember Penny. She says,
Penny.
I don't know if you remember, but I emailed you last year at the 65th United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. Well, I'm back this year at the 66th United Nations Commission
don't
on the Status of Women.
Don't tell me a year's gone by.
Who do you think should be my companion this year?
Oh, yeah. Who was it last year?
Who, yeah? Linda.
Oh, right. Okay.
She says, thank you very much for your amazing podcast. I look forward to it every week. Keep up the good work. We will. We will. We will. Well, you definitely don't want us because we are way too childish to be anywhere, let anywhere near.
Don't let Flaps go anyway.
No.
Nando's all right.
Which one of us is Flaps and which
you
one
are.
Of us is... I'm Flaps. Oh, charming. Thanks.
I just decided that on the spur of the moment.
Yeah. Go on then, who Nando's. Should... Who should she have?
Who should go? Not Lily, because she's just irritating.
Not Mia, because she just wants to rabbit on about veganism all the time.
Obviously, you should say Kirsty. No, she's like in charge of stuff.
I think Fallon. Fallon should just get furious at everybody
Fallon.
About everything.
Absolutely. No, Fallon, because Fallon will just tell it like it is.
I think Usha.
Usha's my new favourite character.
Yeah.
She is. Do you know what? The sort of warmth that Usha, particularly Usha, but and Alan gave Amy really made my heart sing. Because it felt so genuine and it was just such a relief, wasn't it, to have people being nice to each other and being loving and putting, just going, don't worry.
Don't take everything so seriously.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Relax.
Yeah.
It was like the audience. It was us, wasn't it? It was the audience. Yeah. Finally, our voice was heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, take Usha and Fallon and maybe Kirsty. She might bring snacks.
If she took Usha and Fallon, they'd have started fighting on the back seat before she'd go out the drive.
Take some foamy bananas.
Yeah.
I went away at the weekend and my friend who was with us, massive fan of foam bananas and shrimps, and another massive fan of the shrimps. And basically there was a conversation which lasted about at least 6 minutes about the quality of M&S ones versus like Happy Shopper. And the conversation went on for, minutes. But it was, but I who knew? But apparently the M&S ones are absolutely delicious.
Of course they are.
Send you some.
I think M&S should sponsor us because they're very much up our cup of tea, I think.
Oozy jacket potato with added foamy shrimp. With a Cadbury's light sprinkling of... I went past a Costa today and they're now doing M&S food.
Really?
Yeah, you get a coffee and...
Oh, I don't like it when they put everything in funny places.
I didn't like it.
I like it when you go into M&S and buy an M&S sandwich because you're in M&S.
You shouldn't be able to get a BLT M&S in a Costa coffee.
No, and I don't like it when Waitrose is in a petrol station anything. It's
wrong. No, absolutely not. I won't
I convince myself that when I'm eating something that
it's
it smells
nice.
A bit of petrol.
It does. It does. It does because the fumes get into the plastic. They do.
They do. Okay.
It's like those pans and deodorants.
Oh, don't start again.
You should. I did buy some new pans.
Did you?
Didn't I? Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. Hey.
And a new deodorant. I bought a chemical deodorant.
Chemical one. Oh, I'm telling. You're all chemical now. This is from Joanne, who says... if I don't write now, I won't remember till later in the week.
I feel like that. And that's the trouble with this podcast. I never write it down.
She's headed her email. I know it's only Tuesday. But anyway, Chris has turned me to Team Alice regarding which parent Martha lives with. I get that he's worried about Alice falling off the wagon and he knows how bad that could go. But especially after the birthday party, it sounds like he's just treating Alice like a babysitter rather than remembering she is Martha's mother. Yeah, yeah. I almost expected him to say, and if you can't even have her cleaned up and ready to go on time, then I'm afraid I'm going to have to find a new childminder. And then when he mentioned at mediation that, of course, he, Chris, should be the one to get the final say in all the really important decisions in Martha's life, that was just too much. Whether he likes it or not, Martha's got two parents, not one. And as long as she's not drinking, there's no reason why Alice shouldn't be a big part of Martha's life. And I know it's stupid, and I'm sure people find it tedious beyond belief, but I actually really like the Goldfish Saga.
Yay!
Yay!
We do!
It had me laughing out loud, and I'm happy they're dragging it out over several
episodes.
I like that we've used the word dragging, which would suggest that, yeah. And it's such a change, a lovely change, to have a comedy story that doesn't revolve around a Grundy trying to cheat or steal from someone and the writers treating Grundy japes as something we should find entertaining. Love the podcast. Thank you for our weekly dose of laughter, and thank you for getting all us US folks in touch with one another. I, for one, am enjoying having the Amside community on Facebook to chat with. Yeah. Yes, we are Team Goldfish as well.
But also, that Mrs. Doyle mediator, yeah, it did a hopeless job, didn't she? Oh, well, they were going to argue, so I just said, let's put a line through it. Go and get a solicitor. I mean, it was
Well, you've got to expect a bit of fisticuffs in the office now.
But it was so obvious they were, like, completely opposed, hadn't yeah. thought about... They clearly hadn't had a provisional conversation or anything.
Yeah.
And so it was like, well, it just did not make sense. And also, no one has said to Chris, have you thought about the fact that it might be great to have a mother in her life 50% of the time and the father in her life 50% of the time? You know, like, neither of them have... sort of discovered each other's qualities.
I think when you have mediation, because my friend's just done it, I think they see you separately and then they see you together.
Well, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so because otherwise you just get the dominant one.
Chris, you like cake. Oh, no, you don't like cake. Alice likes cake. Well, that's fascinating. What kind of cake do you like, Alice?
Would you have a cup of tea? Hag one.
Oh, you don't. Do you add sugar? No sugar for you, Chris Wright. Exactly. It's like, come on.
But the dominant one, i.e. Chris, just set out his stall, and Alice, who was feeling too abashed and ashamed to feel that she had a right to stake her, to claim her own rights, was just going, yes, okay, yes, okay, yes, yeah. okay. Because yeah. no one had established beforehand what she actually wanted.
No, but they know because they'd obviously established it way back in when yeah. she, you know, in the time that she was recovering,
yeah.
or you know, more vulnerable. Yeah, it just and I don't like it when Susan's upset.
No, although she seemed fine when she was making her Angel Delight, so I wouldn't worry.
I know. La
la la.
All fine. The last time we heard her, she was.
Yeah,
she
sobbing.
Was like, yeah.
And everyone was worrying about her, saying she looked really upset. She looked terrible. So she was very upset. And she's now, at home watching Vera eating Butterscotch Angel Delight.
With Adam.
Because Ian.
Well, she's probably in the middle of Adam and Ian now, isn't yeah. she? Because they are her new BFFs. BMFs. Whatevs.
BGFs. Best gay friends.
BGFs.
Viv Moriarty has sent one of her surrealist flights of fancy.
Oh, my gosh. Brace, I'm going to have brace. To take a sip of tomato juice yep. for this.
It is a truth universally acknowledged, she says, that Elvis is not dead and is currently residing on a Pacific island with Kathy Perks, Lucy Perks, Dan Hebden-Lloyd, Hayley Tucker, Brenda Tucker, Dr. Locke, Janet Ms. Vicarage and Cameron Fraser. They fabricate a canoe based on plans by Tom Forrest and Nelson Gabriel that was stolen from Felbersham Library and paddle across the ocean, arriving at the Am. They park next to Rex's boat, where they stage a coup with the help of flapjack missiles and bunting tripwire. They hunker down at Gay Grables, where they activate their sleeper cells. Leonard, Jill and Peggy leap into action and start wandering around Ambridge, kicking down fences. There'll be hips going out everywhere. Kate rallies the insurgents, including a pack of wild dogs that have been let loose since their dog walker disappeared suddenly. They hide in the rewilding megafauna, camouflaged with yurt felt. Krusty addresses the erstwhile island dwellers through a megaphone and invites them to watch her PowerPoint presentation. They are so confused and disinterested that they immediately get back in their canoe and paddle home. Robo Harassment arrives too late to join in due to an anointment appointment with the Reverend Elvis. With the Reverend. God, Elvis sings Return to Sender all the way back. Best Viv. P.S. When will Febreze please sing Wet Leg? Febreze isn't going to sing Wet Leg. Febreze only listens to Eurovision and K-pop, but I could make inquiries of Mr. Newby to see if he is available to sing Wet Leg.
I think Viv needs to create a Twitter page yes. for her surreal Archers, because you know there's the yes. Archers bot plot. There's the Archers. What's the other one called? That's sort of like a weird. There's a few sort of ones that do funny story. You know, funny plots. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, no? Yes, yes.
So Viv could have hers and as the sort of surreal one.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I like that. Yes.
Yeah.
So just sort that out for us, Viv. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Viv.
Yeah.
I can sort of see them. Maybe she could paint them. Paint her dreams and then post them.
Blimey.
Post the pictures. Yeah, so it'd be really lovely. You know, like Dali.
Mm.
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 Like arches and emojis. I love arches and emojis. It really makes me laugh. When they do a whole week.
Still.
I know.
Anyway, she's doing her cardiac surgery now.
Yeah,
so
but
we
Viv
can't...
could do the plarches, but yeah. With like drawings instead.
Yeah. Anyway, Jennifer Corley, our resident vet.
Oh, yeah.
Has said, I cannot listen while driving anymore because I am crying laughing. She said, Phoebe is off to Scotland to sell algae or something unpleasant. As an ex-Oxford type swathed in cashmere, she'll do wonders for the cause of Scottish independence. UK visas for Ukrainians will look freely available and cheap in comparison to what Scotland will apply after Phoebe arrives. I am very disappointed that eco-warrior Phoebe drove off alone and didn't think to share her vehicle with two or three more residents. I'm sure they need farriers in Scotland and midwives. Gay Grables has missed a massive marketing opportunity based on the Twitters. If he'd advertised naked Jazza on the pillows, every room would be booked out till Christmas. Okay. Jazza, Tracy should not discount Oliver. Jazza is wonderful, but she can come back to him after she's married Oliver, inherited Grange Farm and Grey Gables, and then become a merry widow.
Yep.
I would love Tracy to be the next Peggy Woolley with pots of cash, a chauffeur, full-length fur coat and no knickers. She said, more Tom Peach, more Mr. Newby, more singing. Please keep up the good work. P.S. Alice is mad and one of the worst performance parents ever. Finger painting at a one-year-old's party. Bonkers carnage. Only if a sheep dip of bubble bath to dunk them in after is supplied. And this is from Catherine, who says, she listens to us on Sunday evenings while she's pottering and getting ready for the week ahead.
Nice.
She said, I know, I wish I had time to potter. She said, I think you're probably now under a lakey hill of emails. I always imagined Lakey Hill as a bit of a pathetic hill with a moderate incline at best to ease them carrying up their picnics. And somehow it has great views, yet also enough vegetation cover to hide any interpersonal antics. Whatever happened...
Lakey Hill's... Sorry.
Lakey Hill's what?
Well, they never talk about Lakey Hill anymore because now they all go to the rewilding place, don't they?
Whatever happened to that caravan that Ben and Rory turned into the love shack? I'm sure that Leonard would have been happy to lend them the keys now that he's suddenly cricket pals with Tracy. Can't imagine he and Jill are in there admiring the homemade cushions very often, as Jill is always otherwise engaged these days. I do hope that script weirdness with Leonard is not due to the Jill actor being ill. Yes.
What script? What do you mean? Which one?
Well, you know, when Leonard... Jill keeps sending him away, saying, oh, Jill's got a bit of a cold, so she's not coming, or Jill's tired, or whatever, and he's trundling around the village by himself.
Yeah.
Additional topics that have passed but are still bugging me. What a waste of an opportunity the speed friending thingy was. I loved the Susan E and Adam dynamic and hoped for some other interesting combos. E.g. Joy meets Will Grundy and Jacob meets Alan. But instead we just had Alice, Amy, Rex making fun of other people. And that just made me like this. That just made me like all those three all a bit less. And the Archer bungalow. Is it grey or orange, the one that Josh got Mike to paint it? And why was it suddenly being rented to Stella? Does she like the paintwork? Yes, I know I care too much. Thanks again.
No,
Catherine,
I care
not
too.
In America or Australia or anywhere exciting for your listener map.
But where, though?
She didn't say. Oh. It's clearly exciting enough for her not to want to tell us, probably in case we decide we're going to stay there on our world tour.
The bungalow is an ongoing irk.
Mystery, yes.
It just all got a bit messy, didn't it?
Yeah.
And has Stella moved in now?
God knows.
It's annoying, isn't it?
I don't like it when we focus too much on one storyline in a week.
I mean,
it just makes me worry about all the other things that are happening that I don't know about.
Well, all the loose ends. But I suppose we just... But why make a big deal about the paint if it wasn't going to lead to anything? And the big
Harriet,
and the big
you
argument.
Say this every week. But surely that can't have been it. I mean, what was the point of that? How long have you been listening now? 10 years? 20 years?
I don't like it when they just forget.
Yes.
Or they just scrap the end of the story.
Do you think we're supposed to fill in the gaps? Because we don't. We just go into stasis, don't we? Like, well, it's like Schrodinger's bungalow. She may be in it. She may not. We won't know until
it's... until she's repainted it and we hear about it.
Yes.
Oh, what a lovely shade of Sparrow's Mank you've painted these walls, Stella.
What the hell is Sparrow's Mank?
Well, you know, one of those fancy colours.
Elephant's ear or...
Elephant's ear breath. Elephant's testicles.
Yeah.
That's what our bedroom is painted, actually.
Elephant's testicles?
Mm. It's actually called Elephant's Breath.
Oh.
Elephant's Breath. And it's actually, interesting, Lucy, it's a funny shade of furrowed ball because when you paint it in some rooms, it looks grey. When you paint it in other rooms, it looks pink. And when you paint it in other rooms, it just looks brown. So you need to sort of have the perfect light for it. But how do you know? How do you know unless you've painted the whole room?
Don't you have tester pots?
Yes, but they don't work.
Do you get an elephant to come in and breathe?
Breathe. And I think that's the thing. That's the bit I didn't sign up to.
Mm.
So it just looks a bit brown.
Well, you haven't thought that through then, Harriet, have you? And as far as I'm concerned, you've only got yourself to blame.
Oh, I know. But you spend an absolute bloody fortune painting a room and then you can't repaint it.
My cleaning lady says you do not need to bother with Farrow and Bull because Durex is just as good.
And it is. Who needs elephant's breath?
Exactly, when you can have...
when you can have a strong and sturdy Durex.
Icky condom, yeah.
Elephant's breath. The lightest contraception you can use. Feel good. anyway. good.
Yes. And, yes. So now we're going to tune in to BBC Radio Borsetshire, where Febreze is hosting, God help us, a live phone-in.
Radio Borsetshire. Yes, I do get it, Colin. I know what is a phone-in. I listen to the one on after the breakfast show with that man who is a kipper and people ring in and say, send everyone back, except Lenny Henry, I like that one. I am not having one like that, though. I am having a nice one. Yes, now. Oh, now. Hello, welcome to Drive Time with me, Febreze of Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today is Mother's Day. Just a little pluggy, at Febreze of Felpersham all this week we have special treat for your mother if you have forgotten to buy her a box of these little chocolates that look like shells and taste a bit of margarine. You can buy voucher for her to have facial, eye tightening, a full Hollywood or ever tights taken up. Then Kelly Marie does full mani and foot massage as long as you do not take your shoe off, as feet make her go a bit funny. Frankly, I cannot afford no more therapy for Kelly Marie as I am still paying for her to have treatment for her phobia of dustpans. This week, Febreze is trying something new. We are having phone in, but not a racist one. This is about mothers. Some of the Ambridge mothers are going to ring in to talk to me about their parenting tips. Colin, this is flashy. This green one. Flash. Do I press? There is no need to look at me like that. Hello?
Hiya, Febreze.
Oh, hello. Happy Mother's Day to you. Now, I believe you have many children at your smelly farmhouse full of cow.
That's right, Febreze. I find rapid mood changes keep children on their toes. I like to lull them into a false sense of security by sounding all caring. And then I suddenly get furious when they're least expecting it and go for the jugular.
Oh, that is unusual approach. Do it work?
Well, yeah. They're all too scared to leave the farm, so it's worked in one sense. But that could also be because I confiscate their wages and hide their passports.
And what about your own mother?
Let's not talk about it. I backed over her at Leicester Forest Service Station when I was in a rush to get a McDonald's mega breakfast, and I've not got over it.
Oh, I am very sorry. That must have been very trauma for you.
It was. With all the hoo-ha, they'd run out of hash browns by the time I eventually got in.
Okay, I think I have to go now as another green light flash. Hello?
Hi, Febreze. How are you?
Oh, it is Lady Elizabeth Lower Loxley. I am very well. I am doing a curtsy.
Oh, Febreze, no need. That reminds me, I need to book in with you soon. Décolleté exfoliation. Vincey's so proud of his little barber jacket that he wears it to bed, bless him. And it's just shredding me.
Any time, your ladyness. Now, you have twins, and there are two of them, Freddy and Frilly.
That's right. It's amazing how you can bring up two children exactly the same and yet they can be so different. I mean, Lily is confident, assertive and ambitious, and Freddie's much more of a daydreamer, a bit more directionless. A bit of a pillock, really.
Oh, yes, I see. So that is naturing, not nurturing, isn't it? And do you think that will continue through their lives?
Yeah, I mean, you can't change character, can you? I'd imagine that Lily will work really hard for decades and end up at the top of her chosen sphere exhausted. And Freddy will take over the running of a multi-million pound estate with absolutely no qualifications, apart from a penis.
Oh my goodness, it is Mother Day and I do not think mothers want to hear about peanuts, thank you. I am cutting your call. Colin? Colin, how do I cut a call? I will press this green one.
Hi, Febreze.
Oh!
Delighted to be your parenting consultant. Let me share the burden of your baggage.
Oh, I only have a little Louis Vuitton, so it is fine, but thank you. What do Mother's Day mean to you?
Well, I see it as an opportunity for giving back. It allows my children to show me how much I mean to them, to share their love, their gifts, and their Netflix passwords. It'll be harder this year, as the one that does that thing with cows, she's in Scotland somewhere with a bucket of seaweed. I mean, I presume she is. She left ages ago.
And what about your own mother?
Oh yes, it is very much a chance for her to show me how much she appreciates me also. She has learned a lot from me as a mother.
You are not appreciating her on Mother's Day?
Why would I? It's about me, isn't it?
Well, thank you, Kate Macaroni Aldridge. That is it for my first live phone-in. Goodbye for this week, and remember, Mother's Day is not about the gift or the card or the flowers. The true meaning of Mother's Day is passive aggression.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze. Now, if you visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the couch, you can support us. Are you doing this bit?
No, I'm just
winding
me
up.
I'm pretending that I'm telepathic.
Okay. I think people know there's a script.
I'm not sure, Lucy.
No.
I wouldn't guess.
They're probably wishing there was. yes, you can support us at any subscription level, and many of you have. And thank you very much. And our most recent Patreons are...
Oh, hang on a minute. I need a little bit more.
Val Dunican's off again. She's got a jumper.
I was away, so...
Have you got both wellies on today, at least?
No, I'm actually wearing my trainers, because it's not as muddy now.
Okay.
So, obviously, I didn't have a lot of prep time, i.e. none.
Mm, sorry. Guess whose fault that was.
It's my fault. It's my fault. Hang on a minute.
I keep waiting for it to show this message has been read and it doesn't come, and I think, oh shit, we're gonna have a tantrum now because she hasn't realised.
I do see it, and then I like to put it out of my mind.
Yes, go la 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 la, and then have a mild panic attack when you realise you haven't.
5 minutes before we record, I have written the names down.
Well done.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I can't remember what tune I was gonna do though. I'll just make it. hang on. Okay. I'll just make it up. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, Lucy. Not you.
Might have been me.
Thank you, Vicky. And thank you, Lucy. Not you. I send you my best wishes. I don't send you goldfishes. Oh, God, it was so awful. I'm so sorry.
I was impressed with the wishes and goldfishes.
I just didn't have time, Lucy, this way. I feel terrible for Barbara, Melanie, Lucy, Vicky, Lucy. Sometimes I think that you I think Lucy and Lucy are probably the same person, aren't they? But you've just written their name.
No, because one of them was from Vicky and Lucy.
Oh.
Who I think are a couple or friends or something.
Oh.
And then there's Lucy and Vicky and Lucy.
Okay.
See?
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Melanie. Oh, no, that doesn't work. How? Why doesn't it work? Melanie. Oh, fuck it. Can't really do it this week. I'm just a bit out of practice. I promise next time, whoever Patreons again, ever, I'm just going to put a bit more effort into it. It's been away. I had to catch up with some staff. It's quite hard.
Yes, yes. Just own it. Anyway, it, Harriet. Own it.
Look, technically, Lucy, it wasn't my fault.
Technically, it was rehearsed.
In my head, it was rehearsed. I just forgot what I was going to do. I forgot what chords. I didn't think that chord thing really pattern. Well, it wasn't really a chord pattern, was it?
It was a selection of chords. That's probably all right.
Thanks, Barbara, Melanie, Lucy and Vicky and Lucy. Mm-hmm. And thanks I'm so going much. To include them in a proper song, what I do next week.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll have like a backing track. It might even have Lucy's backing vocals.
Oh, no, it will not.
Might do.
Well, it won't have.
Might do.
Well, not me, anyway. Another Lucy.
Maybe one of the Lucys who's patronised us.
Patronised us, yes.
If anybody is like a backing, or just a proper singer, do get in touch.
If anyone has any skills whatsoever, get in touch, because you're sorely
needed. Not too many.
No,
Lucy.
Don't make us feel bad.
Because bad enough having Matt do all that brilliant music.
Oh, yes. No, it's a good one this week. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at Ambridge
on the couch.
No.
Oh.
Twitter is at on Ambridge.
Oh, yes.
At or Ambridge. You can email us at ambridge on the couch at gmail.com. And Fabrice has now got his own Twitter account.
Oh, he's got his own Twitter account.
Yes. Called Fabulous Fabrice.
It's good, actually. I like that.
Mm. Yes. Now, this week's theme is from, well, guess who it's from? It's not from me, is it? And it's not from Harriet, let's face it. It is from Matt Rodriguez Payne. And this week, now I don't know, this is more likely for you to remember.
Okay.
Do you like David Duchovny?
Oh, from X-Files?
Yes. And that is the theme.
Clever.
It is so sinister.
Ooh.
Right, you ready?
Okay. Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. It reminded me of that horrible episode where that thing came up the drains. And it made me very frightened again, because I couldn't go to the loo for about 3 days after I'd watched that.
Mm, I'm going to have nightmares about bloated fish and things coming up my bum.
I'm going to have to tick the explicit box now when I post this. Things coming up my bum.
I meant up the toilet.
I don't want to. But you didn't say up the toilet. You said up my bum. Anyway.
Sorry.
Dear God. Right. I'm just going to play it now.
Play VT.
I don't like it. I'm
frightened.
Oh, that
makes me frightened. I don't like it. I don't want to hear it again. How'd you get the arches from that? That's extraordinary. Yeah, it makes you. Yeah, it's because they were scared.
They were
like sinister.
Yes.
And it's that feeling, isn't it? Of like, ooh. Even the Doctor Who theme music does that to me a bit.
Yeah.
Ooh, don't like it.
Yes.
But thanks, Matt.
Yes, we're both. I'm recording in my studio at the end of my dark garden, which I now have to walk down with all the lights off, which is really horrible.
Scary. Let's. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Vicky. Woo! Relight my fire. Just get it out of your head now.
My life would be much better if I had someone following me around with a slide trombone doing sound effects when I did things. That would be great. It?
Actually, a brass band just in your life generally to accompany you wherever you went would be so fun, wouldn't it?
Someone said to me once, if you're nervous, you should walk into a room as if someone's just played a fanfare before.
That is such a great idea. Oh, that is such a good... I like to take the Encanto soundtrack around with me at the moment because it's sort of that lovely, folky, you know... It's really... Apart from the really sad one, it's really uplifting.
Mm.
But yeah, bit of brass band.
Yeah. Yes, I'm putting off ending this because I'm going to have to go down the garden again.
Do, 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 do. Oh, hang on, is that the right one?
I don't know, what's but that? That's scary as well.
La, 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 la. Hey, that's a different... Oh, I can't remember now. Anyway, thanks, Lucy. We've got to go.
Yes.
I've got to have my dinner.
Yes.
I've got to go and check the children are still in the house.
What are you having for your dinner? Not hummus again.
It'll be hummus, yeah.
Really?
Well, because it's quite late now.
Oh, okay.
It'll be hummus and pita bread.
That's not dinner. That's an absent-minded snack. Right, we're going to have to play the scary music again.
Oh, God. Can I log off?
You log off.
Oh, but then you're left on your own with it till it finishes.
That's fine.
And I'll have logged off and you'll be completely on your own.
I'll be brave. I'll just message you when it's finished and say I'm all right.
Just say, when you get back into your house, just tell me.
I'll give three rings.
Okay, good idea. Okay. All right, then. Okay.
All right.
Take care. Have a lovely week.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, that's me not having a wee again for another 2 weeks.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.